What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Witches of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan and Damo back on the show, and we are joined once again by Chase Carroll. Chase, special guest, pal and friend. How's it going?
After today's press conferences, a mixed bag of emotions, I think. I think we know the direction the Wizards are going in, so not as good as I could be.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where we'll start off with this. There were some interesting remarks today from Tommy Shepherd, from Bradley Beal. It definitely sounds like from some of the stuff that KP has said and tweeted out that it looks like he's probably a lock to be back at this point. I'd probably put that like 92% that he's probably going to be back. Kuzma, not so sure, but we can get into all that now. Damo, you want to start off with any of the quotes from? Let's start with Tommy. And the full press conference hasn't been leaked yet, I don't think. I know that they usually release that a little bit later. I don't know why. Every other sports team in America puts press conferences out like 20 minutes after they happen, so I'm not sure why the Wizards never post them like at all. Or if they do, it's like a minute clip of a 39-minute conversation. And it's like, well, there was no point in doing that. But anyway, anything from Tommy that you found good or depressing?
Not much good out of it. I mean, it was really nothing. Yeah. I mean, it was really nothing he was going to be able to say, I think, to kind of quiet the noise around his, you know, this pitiful roster at the moment. I mean, I thought some of the stuff he said in regards to the fans and kind of taking advice from Twitter GMs and some of that stuff, I didn't see the point of that. But I think it confirms what I think we've always thought, is that, you know, they see the stuff on social media that guys put out, we put up. And I think it's kind of hilarious. But, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, he's just got to be better at his job. And I hope he's not. I hope going into this year, he's not in a situation where he gets desperate. And he's doing a desperation move to save his job, because we've seen that movie before with the guy that was here before him. So, but yeah, nothing I could really take out of what he said. I mean, it was a bunch of BS for real.
I'll give him credit for saying that the season was a disappointment and disgusting. However, we haven't heard the full press conference, so I don't know what he means by that. Is it disgusting because of how injured they were? Or is it disgusting because the first time in a few years they had reasonable expectations and they didn't even meet the bare minimum of what ownership probably wants? So that's what I'm more interested in finding out, like why, in his opinion, was the season a disappointment and disgusting, end quote. A couple other things. It seems like Tommy said that he would like to keep Porzingis, which we already kind of knew, and you know, definitely not the worst decision ever. I mean, I still think he's the most talented player on the team. It doesn't hurt to have a 7-3 guy that can put the ball on the floor. One of the best rim protectors can hit the three ball. So, I mean, it's definitely a piece worth investing in, especially when you go back and consider what the Wizards had to give up to acquire him. Chase, was there anything that you liked or didn't like from the quotes that we've seen from what Tommy had to say?
Definitely, as you guys have both said, I don't think there's much good to come from this press conference. And as Damo said, there really wasn't much he could say that would probably sway anybody's opinion. I think the last couple years, his pitches in the offseason have sounded great, and I think Wizards fans gravitated towards him the last couple of years, believing what they saw. They saw Kristaps at the trade deadline for Spencer Dinwiddie and Bertans. He made good decisions along the way that brought you some kind of hope that maybe Tommy could turn the corner for this franchise, but I don't think the franchise, I don't think the fan base is buying what he's selling anymore. The used car salesman act, you know, hyping up everything that you have, we aren't buying it anymore. Unfortunately, you know, he's saying, you know, Bradley Beal's, he think entering his prime. Unfortunately, I think the best days are behind Brad. Unfortunately, he's now missed what, 40 games last year, 30 something games this year. So almost a full season's worth of missed games. I don't think you can say that the best days are ahead for Brad. And as he's saying, injuries have been an issue for the team, but it hasn't been an issue more than other teams have faced. Like, for example, the Pelicans this season, they lost their star player Zion for just about the entire year. They've missed Brandon Ingram for the larger part of the beginning of the season. They've had other injuries along the way, and they still are in the play-in, which was our team's apparent goal at the beginning of the season. And they did not come really close to reaching that here at the end of the year. So he said what he needed to say. I don't think anyone should be surprised by what he said. He's going to try to sell what he has and what he's brought in here. But at the end of the day, he hasn't done enough, and he better not try to dig himself out of the hole and make a Rudy Gobert type trade. We can't even do that actually, because our pick is locked up. But don't make a decision that's going to ruin the franchise moving forward is really all I want to see this year. Hopefully it either takes that next step or he's out.
Yeah, I mean, I think any competent organization would have moved on both from the GM and the head coach at this point. But before we do get into Wes, and Damo and I have spent like hours at this point discussing Wes Unseld Jr., but I definitely want to get your thoughts on it here in a second, Chase. But before that, some Bradley Beal quotes. I am at peace with how the year went, but I'm not at peace where we are as a team. That doesn't make sense. On patience level, it's low. I have a low patience level. It's not like I'm not angry. Okay. So I could understand him being frustrated. And I was talking about this with Chase before you joined us and we started recording here. But I'm not mad at him for the other quote where he said, you know, I don't make the decisions. I want everybody to understand and hear. I don't run the team. My name is not Tommy Shepard. My name is not Ted Leonsis. Well, thank you for finally putting pressure on someone, because, I mean, everyone wants to get mad at Brad for all this stuff, right? And as we've said several times, like, Brad didn't pay himself the money. The Wizards did that. So, and John has made the same point before when he says, you know, it's not my job to recruit. And I could understand that. And while, you know, you want to see those kinds of things from the leaders of your team, right? At the end of the day, it is not their job to do that. It's up to the GM and the head coach to find and evaluate talent. It's not Brad's job to draft picks and handle free agency, this, that, and the third. So, again, I know everyone's going to gang up on Brad for all this stuff, but at the end of the day, the Wizards had several opportunities to move on from him. Tommy specifically, where he could have probably gotten back a decent trade package, and he's chosen not to do it. So from that point of view, I don't have an issue with what Brad had to say, but I do question how much weight he has with front office level decisions, because if he was really that upset, I don't see how Wes Unseld Jr. would be back for a third year, but
yeah, I'm not really buying the Brad as the GM angle, because I'm like, did Brad tell Tommy to trade his best friend on the team and KCP for Monte and Barton? Like,
yeah,
I highly doubt that. and we already know he didn't want Wes; he wanted Sam Cassell. So, like, if he got that type of juice, then Then why isn't KCP still here? Why isn't Sam Castillo here? You know, I don't know if I buy that. To me, like you said, I mean, it, you know, the moves that are being made, the contract to Brad, the multiple opportunities to make a trade after Russ, after Wall, they were there for Tommy to make, and that would have gave him a clean slate to start over. He didn't do it. So, to me, it falls on him. Like, on draft day, it's not Bradley Beal in the war room. It's Tommy Shepard and Antoine Jameson and what's the other gentleman name? I can't think of his name, the one that wears the fedora hats. But yes, yeah, it's on them, you know, like they gotta live and die with the moves they make or don't make.
Chase, I do want to ask you, and Damo and I touched on this on our last podcast, but when the Wizards came out and announced that Wes Unseld Jr. would be back even before the season ends, what was your initial reaction to that, and what have you made overall of him now that we have two full years of watching him?
Well, my initial reaction, I just wasn't surprised. It's something that a good organization wouldn't do, would be bring him back. We see, you know, worse organizations right now, such as the Pistons and the Houston Rockets. They're moving on from their coaches when, you know, I wouldn't have even put really all the blame on the coaches in those situations. And no. I'd put more blame on Wes Unseld Jr. in this situation than I would for those coaches that are getting the axe in those situations. But yeah, I'm not surprised by it. It's a Ted Leonsis decision, I think, not anything to do with Tommy Shepard. I'm sure if Tommy Shepard had his way, Wes Unseld Jr. would be out as well, because I think Tommy Shepard truly believes that he put together a pretty solid roster. He keeps using the injury angle because he kind of has to, but as we've all alluded to, injuries happen all over the league, so it's not really a something that he can use under his belt. I think if he had his way, Wes Unseld Jr. would be out, but this is really a Ted Leonsis decision. He's not going to pay a coach to not coach for him. And it's frustrating to have an owner who he owns so much of DC sports. Like, he's such a big businessman in this area, yet he's not willing to do what it takes to really field a championship level NBA team. Why own this team if you're just going to bring back the guys that have shown that they're not able to do to take you to that level that you need to be taken? And Wes Unseld Jr., I wouldn't say he's the worst coach of all time or anything like that, but he just doesn't elevate you. He doesn't, I think, set up plays out of breaks. I don't think he, obviously he does. I don't think he does it well. I don't think he is great with rotations at the end of games at times. I think he's shown to take sides, such as Monte Morris starting for him at point guard all season, despite maybe not warranting such a move as that. Like, he didn't try anything else. It's like, okay, we know what our ceiling is with this kind of lineup. Why don't we change anything about it? I don't think he's a type of coach willing to make the adjustments needed to take a team to the next level. So it's definitely frustrating, but I'm not surprised by it.
No, I don't think anyone is, but I definitely agree that any competent organization would have at least moved on from Wes. If you like the talent that Tommy's put together, because it's not like it's easy to put together a contending team. So I understand, like, when some fans are, like, you know, a little bit more patient about that kind of thing, like building a championship contender when you're this team and this type of market doesn't happen overnight. You have to draft well. And we haven't had enough of those types of picks to warrant being considered one of the teams on the rise. And so you have to try and then assemble your team through trades and through free agency, right? Which is, the top of our roster was built through trades. I mean, obviously we drafted Brad, but in regards to Gafford, KP, Kuzma, and then if you want to include Monte in that conversation, well, four out of your five starters come from trade. So that's how Tommy has shown that he can get his players. But just the talent is hard to come by. So I don't think that this is the worst three to invest in going forward. You could do a lot worse, but how now do you try and look at the rest of the roster and you get creative to improve? And again, I'll say this, and I've said this countless times, you know, the Wizards were that they're not a great team, but for what's gone on the past couple seasons now has been unacceptable. And to me, the main reason for that is Wes Unseld Jr. So to me, it would have been an easy decision. He would have gotten the axe like Silas did. Like they didn't even wait 2 minutes yesterday when that buzzer went off to tweet out that the Rockets were moving on from Steven Silas. That happened immediately.
I feel like they announced that while the fourth quarter was still winding down, man.
He already knew. They'd probably known for weeks that that was going to be the direction that they were going to go in. And, you know, it's just, and like Chase said, I think that I would hold Wes Unseld Jr. more accountable for our situation than I would Silas and Dwayne Casey for what they had to deal with, because they had all young players, not really any veterans. Like the Pistons' best veteran player through the last couple or few seasons, I feel like, has probably been Bojan Bogdanović. Like, what do you expect them to do? So, and sure, then we all know the situation with the Rockets. I don't know who's going to be able to get that situation under control. I mean, to me, that's a job I'm not sure I would really be that interested in. I would be looking to move a couple of those young guys and try to get some veterans in here, consolidate that roster a little bit, especially when you consider, I think the Rockets are going to have 3 first-round picks this year. 3, maybe 2.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get the knuckleheads out of that locker room first.
Yeah.
Then they can start building some type of culture. But in regards to Wes, man, I think for sure I would say he's probably had, as far as the underachieving with the record the last 2 years, I would say he's probably had the most hand in that. You know, of course we can do injuries all day, but everybody has injuries. Obviously the team has some major holes at point guard and at wing, but again, most teams have holes. You know, but it's up for your coach to kind of know his personnel and put guys in the best position to succeed. I thought what was most interesting coming out of the pressers was from some of the comments from Monte Morris talking about pace and the identity of the team. I think Kispert alluded to that too, that they still didn't know the identity of the team. And I'm like, this is the second year in a row we come at the end of the season and guys don't know the identity of the team and like that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how is that possible? And talking about pace, I'm like, we've been talking about pace all year, but Wes has come out and said that he feels like a slower pace helps the defense. Well, your defense ranked 21st and you were a bottom 10 pace team. So obviously that didn't work. So now I guess they're changing course and now they want to be this high pace team next year. I don't know, man. I just feel like it's the dog chasing his tail at this point.
Chase, anything to add?
Yeah, that's just a direct correlation on Wes. Your own play, just about every player in their postseason press conference talking about issues that likely directly correlate with the head coach. So it's like you hear all this from all of your players and you still don't do anything about it. It's like, I don't know if there's an issue between coach and the players or not. I would say it seems like they mostly have a good relationship, at least as opposed to last season. I feel like a lot of those guys, the locker room was a mess, probably didn't like Wes too much. I wouldn't say that seems to be an issue this year, but we keep on doing the same song and dance of issues that seemingly directly correlate with Wes Unseld Jr. So it's like we're just going to run it back with the same players, same coach, same GM, same everything. What's going to change here that you know that we haven't done already with this group? I don't understand what the direction is, and it doesn't seem Tommy understands the direction himself either. So it's a frustrating place to be, and it's not anywhere new. It's just where we've been, and You know, how are we going to get out of this? I don't know how.
That brings us to our next topic, because it seems like our only hope right now would be that the ping pong balls go in our way and we somehow slide into the top three, dare I say, get the number one pick. But that appears right now to be our only hope in terms of adding a significant talent that can hopefully project us to being out of the purgatory of 35 to 38, 39 wins. So end of season, we were a few games late to the tank, on par for how we handle things. And the Blazers ended up getting fifth. It was a little bit of a four-team race for fifth for a while with them, the Pacers, the Magic, and us. Ultimately, Portland ended up getting that fifth pick. Orlando got six, I think. Am I messing this up? And then we got we're tied with Indiana for
seventh with the Pacers.
Right. So, and I was asking Chase about this, and he didn't quite know either. So is that for sure how they're going to handle this pick, is they have to do a coin flip, that they don't consider a conference record?
Yeah, from what I read, it was coin flip.
Interesting. So we'll be picking eighth.
Whatever can go wrong will go wrong for this franchise. You already know that we're not winning that coin flip.
Nope.
Matt, you know what would be crazy? If we mess around and win the coin flip, and then the team that picks eighth is the team that jumps.
Yeah. Me and Chase already talked about this.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, again, on par for this organization. But anyway, so seventh or eighth is certainly not the worst, but it definitely, I think, takes you out of the elite talent. Now, you can still find good talent. That's the great thing about this draft, is anywhere in the lottery, really, you'll be able to find a decent player that could help shape the direction of your franchise. It may not necessarily be a franchise player, but it's certainly a player that you can build with, that can be a piece that, you know, that isn't going to be a part of what you're trying to build as a team and shaping your roster for years to come. So
I actually think they're in a sweet spot, though, because I was looking at past drafts. So over the last six drafts, the seven or eight slot or both have jumped into the top four the last six years. So honestly, being in that seven or eight might be better than being in six or five. If you're talking about trying to jump into that top four, it's just a matter of which one or if both can get into that top four. Cause I feel like that's where the Wizards need to get to. Like, we need a blue chipper.
Chase, Damo and I talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, I think, but is there anyone in that 7-8 range that you quote unquote have a crush on, or are you just kind of enjoying the process for what it is? Or maybe you just want, like, oh, just draft a point guard, just the best one of the group, whoever's available, or something like that. How are you viewing this pick at this point?
I don't think this team's in a position to be picky with talent. I think they need to just bring in the best player on the board, whoever that is. Personally, I think I'd love for it to be a point guard. I like Anthony Black. I think he would be a good fit with this current team. But I'd like this team to be blown up, so I'm not really worried about the fit too much as far as that goes. I think we need to get the best player that can change this franchise and take them the direction we actually want to be in. Whether that's Anthony Black or not, I'm not sure. I'm not going to act like I'm a draft expert by any means or anything, but I think that's who I would like, assuming we stay in the spot we are and, you know, Wizards and don't move up into that top five.
Yeah, I've said the same thing. I think right now Anthony Black would be my number one, at least for the range that we're going to be picking in, but certainly there are some other players there. And again, I'm kind of with you, like, best player available, you kind of need to go for. But if it's all kind of relative in that range at that point, and point guard is obviously still our biggest need, I think I would just go point guard if talent is even, you know, relatively even in Tommy's eyes. So, Dama, what are you kind of thinking now? I know it's kind of, because 7-8 is a big difference, but generally speaking, for where we're going to be picking, who do you like?
It's a couple guys I like. I'll be honest with you though, man. If they go and take another power forward or center that's not or a center that isn't Victor Wembanyama, I'm going to be pissed off. I feel like they need another like on ball creator. I don't care if it's a point guard, two guard, or a wing. Like, they got to get a guy that you can put the ball in his hands and he can do something with it. Either in a half court set, transition, off pick and roll. He's got to be able to do something with the ball in his hands, because I feel like that's where the league is going. Multiple guys that can put the ball on the floor and shift your defense. If they go and take somebody that's got to wait on a pass, I'm going to be pissed off. So I would say, you know, any one of the point guards, man. I like Black. I just love his size, his defense, and his ability to get to the rim. Obviously, the jump shot is a question mark. Cason Wallace, he kind of got like a, you know, non-sexy Drew Holiday type game with him. And I even like the point guard out of Indiana. His name is escaping me right now. Jalen Hood, 6'6", 215, kind of got like a Malcolm Brogdon type build to him. I like him. And if they decide to go wing, you know, it's a, you know, if they decide to go like a guard, another like combo guard, you got Nick Smith Jr. But I think right now I would probably lean Anthony Black, because I think that's a guy that's in the mold of like a Josh Giddey, Lonzo Ball, if he gets his jumper right, type player that, you know, he fits next to Brad. You can kind of swing him at the 1, 2, or 3, depending on what lineups you're running. And he's not a liability on the defensive end for you.
Yeah, I definitely think that the popular guy, especially with now we know relatively where we're going to be picking. And again, 7-8 can be a huge difference. I am curious, Chase, would you – I know we touched on it a little bit earlier, but there's no way you'd entertain trading this pick at all?
Not for a player. No, I don't think I would trade it for a veteran or anything. If say like Damian Lillard's available for the pick, you know, maybe you do it, but I think it would take obviously a lot more than just our lottery pick to get a player that's worth it for me. Maybe if a Jaylen Brown situation were, I mean, Beal would be going back in that kind of trade. I don't really foresee a situation in which we're trading our lottery pick for something that helps us now. I'd be willing to, you know, we maybe talk about this later. I don't know if Beal actually is on the block or not. But I'd love to try to get involved with that Portland pick. Cause it's on the block apparently if they don't get the first pick. So, I don't know if Beal would lift his no trade clause for Portland, or if we could get a 3-team deal going with the Celtics, Jaylen Brown. I saw that one floated out there, a 3-team deal with those two teams. That's the kind of draft day deal I would want to make as opposed to getting rid of our pick.
Yeah, I guess just the optics on that, if you're Tommy at that point, is if you knew that you could probably trade Brad, and you were going to lean that direction when summertime came, why didn't you capitalize on KP and Kuzma's value, where you probably honestly could have gotten between the two of them, like maybe 2 or 3 first round picks. So,
because they're not good.
Yeah.
Do it. The plan is to bring the band back. That's what they're going to do. So like, even if Portland like offered it, I think Tommy would turn it down before we even got to Beal no trade clause, because I don't see him waving it to go to Portland. But I think Tommy would hang up the phone, because I think they're dead set on bringing Kuz and KP back, which is why they didn't trade him at the deadline. So, but yeah, outside of getting Dame, I'm not moving that pick. If anything, they need to be trying to trade up. You know, if they mess around and get 8, or seven, and they locked there, they need to be trying to throw one of them kids in there and something and try to trade up and get into the top four, top five. Because I feel like it's a drop-off after the top five with the Thompson twins. If they can get one of those type of athletes in the building, that'd be something they haven't had since John Wall. So that's what they should be trying to do. I know last year they were trying to get up to get Ivy, and it just never materialized. But, yeah, if anything, that's what they should be trying to do, trade up in the draft.
You got to think – sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Chase. Go.
You got to think that there's going to be a big swing coming this offseason. As we've said, we don't want Tommy to do it, but you got to think it's coming. His job is definitely on the line. And as Damo just alluded to, they did try to make a deal up to get Ivy last year. They were big on the market for Donovan Mitchell. And after a season like this, I think it's clear to Tommy that, you know, the status quo is not going to work anymore. They're going to need to get that big piece. Whether that's attainable, it wasn't last offseason. And I doubt it is again this offseason, but I do not doubt that Tommy will be hard pressed to try to get somebody in here. So that pick could very well be on the move. Like we say, we don't want it to happen. It could very well happen.
Yeah. Trae Young, would y'all be interested in that?
A Trae Young Beal backcourt together, or would Beal be out? Because that defensive backcourt is ugly. Ugly.
I feel like it would be with Beal here.
My biggest concern right now is like the whole cap space thing before free agency starts, right? So say they decide to hold off on KP and Kuz extensions until free agency. Does that actually give the Wizards enough room to acquire a guy like that before free agency starts? Like that's where I get so confused, where like the financial rules are involved, because or would you do a sign and trade? But if that's the case, then like what's Atlanta's motivation?
As my understanding of it, they have Kuz and KP Bird rights, so you know they can go over the cap to keep those two guys, which is why they're even able to sign them anyway. Because I believe even without their contracts, they're over the cap, or like with just one of them on the books. Like say KP opts into his 35 mil, they're over the cap. So if they didn't have a Bird rights, they wouldn't even be able to re-sign them. So they could do something like that where, you know, they kind of get a handshake deal with KP and Kuz, and they go out and get somebody, then go and, you know, sign KP Kuz, and then they're a tax team, you know. But it's
Yeah, I just get confused because before free agency, I don't know if they still have cap holds, you know, but before that start. I don't know exactly how that works. You know who would know is Oz. Oz would know. And Matt would know too. But I mean, I'd definitely be down for that. I mean, Trey Beal, KP, I mean, just those three alone. And then you add Kuzma into that. I mean, that's entertaining. I mean, it might kind of suck a little bit, but I mean, that we would at least be like a six or a five seed though. I mean, that would probably be like the floor with that team. Cause there's no way that like that team would be bad. You know, like there's no way.
You said that about the Hawks this year. It was no way they was going to be bad. They ended up an AC. So I don't know, man. Kyrie Irving, would you guys be interested in that?
No.
I mentioned this in the group message. I said that I would, kind of jokingly, but also kind of not. because if he somehow, we wouldn't, we're the Wizards. If you somehow get All-Star Kyrie and everything works out, you just got, you would think, a point guard of that level at, I don't know if he'll be cheaper or what, probably not.
He wants
his money, and he's not going to take less to come to Washington. But you somehow strike that All-Star point guard and things go right, which it never does with him, but things go right, then you got yourself a great team. And if things go the way that they probably do, Kyrie destroys your franchise and we get to blow it up and restart. So I'm all for Kyrie coming in and doing what he does, and we actually, you know, get a start on what we need to do and build this thing the right way. So maybe he could come in and help us in that sense.
Yeah.
We'll save the playoff preview for another episode. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about today?
I just wanted to bring up Beal's leadership, I guess I would say. He's failed to kind of take accountability recently, I think. Obviously, this whole season isn't on him, and the state of the franchise isn't all on Bradley Beal, but I'd like for him to have given a little bit of accountability for what's been going on. He did miss 32 games this year. He missed 40 games last year. And obviously it's an injury. He doesn't want to be injured. Last year, a lot of it, I believe, was COVID. Maybe that was the year before, not being vaccinated, not willing to get vaccinated. So there's been a lot of leadership things, it seems, with Bradley Beal that you question, whereas you see Kuzma taking accountability on Twitter, apologizing to the fans. You see Corey Kispert, he's had a couple press conferences now where he's taken accountability and doesn't like where things are. And I'm glad that we have a couple guys on the roster that I think they seem like good leaders. I think Corey Kispert could develop into a great leader. I think Kuzma has been the leader of this team, which is, it's frustrating. Bradley Beal, you're obviously the franchise guy. Maybe you don't have the keys like we may have thought you did. You didn't get to keep KCP here. Maybe he hasn't had the say that we thought he has had, but he should be the leader. He should be the guy. And I would say it seems that a lot of times he's not. And if we're going to take that next step, I really think he needs to be that leader that we really need around here.
For me at this point, it's just, when Brad got paid when he did, you don't pay someone for what they're going to do in the future at that point because of his age. They admitted to, I think, just kind of paying him for what he is. And so I agree with you. I'm not saying I disagree that that's what we need from him, but I just don't think that at this stage in his career, that's going to be able to be a switch that just flips just because we've had a disappointing season, because we've been having disappointing seasons for a while now. So again, I don't disagree. I don't see that realistically being a possibility. And I think that's why they're going to be forced into keeping Kuzma too, because they do need some form of leader. And I don't think that KP is that guy either, even though he's a great dude. It's nothing really against KP, but he just doesn't have that type of personality that Kuzma has. And outside of that, there really isn't another respectable veteran on the roster that is going to play a decent amount of minutes that is going to be able to command that respect in a locker room. So again, I agree. I just don't think that that's going to be realistic. But Damo, I don't know what you think about all that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw in regards to his health, I mean, I saw he said something about it, about, you know, needing to be available and take care of his body better. I just don't know what that looks like for him, because it's been like different types of lower body injuries with him. Like, you know, it was the ankle, then it was the knee, then now it's the hamstring. You know, I just don't know what that looks like for him, because I thought he had crossed his hurdle when he had played. I think he had played like 80 games back to back years in 18 and 19. And then like right after that, it was like, boom, like it just seemed like he couldn't play more than 60. And that's pretty much what it's been the last, I was since 2019. He can't get over the 60 game hump. He played 60 in the rush year, but that was a 72 game season. So I'm not sure if he would have ended up playing 70 that year in a regular year or not. But yeah, I just don't know what that looks like for him, because that's an issue. Like, he's got to be able to play 65 plus games every year. Else they have no shot. I mean, without him this season, they were, I believe, 10 and 21. Like he has to be on the floor. So yeah, if he can't stay healthy, then this train is going nowhere, no time soon.
Chase, is there anything else you want to add before we cut this one?
No, man. I think we know the direction that the team's headed. It's a frustrating reality that we are in. We're in purgatory. Let's just hope the ping pong balls go the way that we need them to.
Yeah. Thank you guys again for listening to another episode today. We'll be back soon. Again, we will do a playoff preview episode. We'll be doing player grades and start those up. And then we will be moving on to season 4 of this podcast once we get a little bit further into the summer and we can officially start looking toward next year. But thank you guys again for all of you that followed along throughout the season. Definitely appreciate the support and all the kind messages I get and on Twitter and everyone chiming in on the Twitter spaces that we have throughout the year. It's much appreciated. If you're not already subscribed to the show, please subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.